All right. I plan to speak very little this week as my lungs are suffering from some sort of terrible cough. Could be the remnants of my head cold. Could be a deadly infestation. Could be like that there TV show, the new series, The Strain. Could be a tiny silver worm in my heart that's really a vampire, that's really an alien, that's really an epidemic, that's really the funniest unintentional comedy FX has ever debuted. My point is, nobody knows. I've got a cough drop in my mouth. If that kind of thing turns you off as a podcast listener, sorry, not sorry. Per my listener's request, this entire episode is aimed at demystifying television, specifically the self-congratulatory annual rite that is the Emmy Awards. The nominations came out a few days ago, and as soon as they did, you all just got up in my Twitter feed and my intertubes in general, pointing out that the nominations seem to make no sense whatsoever. They make less sense than the second half of a Doctor Who episode, less sense than a script by Damon Lindelof, and that is pretty dang nonsensical. So, for the rest of this episode, I shall tap into my deep Rolodex, hoping you people know what that is, of contacts in this industry, or if possible, my own impossibly deep brain pan, and get you the answers. Baby Vegas.
Hello.
Did you see The Strain?
I just watched that preview today, actually.
Just the preview?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so you didn't see the two-hour...
I don't think I want to watch that.
Now, wait a minute. Is it because you're freaked out?
It looks too freaky for
So
me.
It's because you're scared.
I am scared. I do not enjoy being scared.
Well, this is the deal. You want to be a TV writer one day, right?
I do.
You should be as scared of that show, not because of the gore, but because it'll make your writing worse.
Oh, God. Okay.
You know how you, like, as a writer, you need to avoid things that'll make your writing worse? Like, that's why I always... Right. I will shut a book after two or three chapters if the writing is really shitty. Because I will pick up on that, like right. Tofu, like my writing will start to be flavored in whatever way of whatever I'm reading. Yeah. At the moment, it happens all the time. Like yeah. When I'm reading, you know, Dracula, I'll start to write all Victorian and why, you know, take four words to say what one word will do.
Right.
So I try not to read shitty things. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, right. Thank God, because I thought to myself, hell no, I would not work on a show like that. I don't want to live in that experience.
Are you kidding me?
For an hour, much less 4 months.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. That's a lie. That is a bald-faced lie. If Carlton Cuse called you tomorrow and said, we want you to work on a tentpole FX feature written and co-produced and co-written by Guillermo del Toro, you would say no. You are lying.
Okay, touche. I guess so.
Right?
Absolutely. Hell yes. I'll start yesterday.
Right. I'm right, right?
You are right.
Please tell me I'm right.
You are right.
Okay, good. God's sake, child. So let's get to these questions then. Go ahead, ask the first question.
All right, Midlife Midwife asks via Twitter.
What?
Please explain why shows that went off the air a long time ago, i.e. Breaking Bad, are still eligible for Emmy noms.
Okay, because of the eligibility period. The eligibility period for the 66th Annual Emmy Awards, which is the next upcoming Emmy Awards, that eligibility period was June 1st, 2013 through May 2014. Wow. Now, the first half of the final season of Breaking Bad aired Sundays from July 15th to September 2nd, 2012. Not eligible. But the second part was broadcast on Sundays from August to September 2013.
Huh.
So... that's eligible. That's not an accident. That split schedule is why we're seeing a nomination for Outstanding Drama Series for the show, and Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama, and Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Drama, and Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama, and a nod for Outstanding Directing, and two for Writing, yada, yada. In fact, that's one reason why we see so many split seasons on TV all the time now. You can spread your odds around for winning Emmys.
Oh, mm-hmm. So... a question perhaps for another podcast is
what?
Why a split season and why not just one season and then another season?
That's one reason mm-hmm. right there is this. When you split yeah. the seasons like this, you can spread around your Emmy odds.
Right.
A lawyer also told me, and I think I went through this on my show once before, but maybe you weren't paying attention. An attorney once told me that lots of times you can negotiate with actors.
Uh-huh.
If you want to split the seasons up, that counts as one season when it comes to actors.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to renegotiate once you crank up the production again.
Okay.
So for example, maybe you need for production reasons to take a big break.
Right.
But you don't want to then negotiate for a raise for your actors. So you just say, oh, split the season. It's all one season.
I always wondered that because of Sex and the City season 6, part 1 and part 2.
Oh, God. You watch that?
Oh, yeah.
And you want to be a good writer.
Yes.
No comment. So, read the next listener question.
All right. Anonymous asks.
Yes.
Jimmy Fallon's version of Tonight got nominated, but not Jay Leno's.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Isn't it technically the same show?
No, one of them has the celebrity lip-syncing contest. And the other one just had a guy talking like this. So, no, they're not.
About the most boring things ever.
Technically, this is very interesting because technically they are both called The Tonight Show, at least informally. But that's where the similarities end. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know that Leno sort of passed the torch to Fallon officially. So it did seem like he was passing the torch of the same show, but it's not really technically the same show. According to the people who make these kinds of decisions, the two late night gab fests are treated as different entities because, in the words of an Emmy spokeswoman I spoke with, they are two different shows in the eyes of the gods. Look, Emmy gods don't care about series names, even though the monikers in this case are actually different. Fun fact, the current Tonight is, quite technically, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. Ha ha. But the point is moot. When it comes to the variety category, which is what we're talking about here, they call it variety. Emmy officials care about series talent, producers, mostly. So I also spoke to the Paley Center for Media, which is sort of like a repository of TV knowledge. All right.
Have you ever been, by the way, to...
We went to... There's one in Hollywood, right? There's a Paley Center, I think, in Hollywood there. And I think it goes under the Paley name, and it's great because they've got this fabulous archive of episodes of TV shows that you didn't even know existed, and you can walk up to them and say, I'd like to view this episode of this random extinct show from the 70s. And they'll have it. And you can walk into one of their little viewing booths and view it.
Amazing. I'm so glad I asked that question. I didn't know.
Because it's something you should know.
Yeah.
Now, I spoke to somebody at the Paley Center about this. And he said that Fallon and Leno are two different shows because all the creative personnel are different. So if you want specifics, the rules are covered under Category 74 of the Emmy Eligibility Bible. It states that the people qualified to win the Outstanding Variety Series Award are, quote, producers whose specific screen credit is executive producer, co-executive producer, supervising producer, producer produced by, and whose functions support those credits, and the principal host and performer as well, close quote. So, of course, those suits are all spanking new now that Fallon is at the Tonight helm. That's why you have lip sync contests versus... Okay. And yes, by the way, these splits have been visited upon us before. Not so very long ago. Do you remember the bitter late night dust up of the 09-10 season when NBC booted Conan from his Tonight slot and brought in Leno?
Oh, yes.
And Leno was all, I'm just here to make the people happy. And everybody was like, traitor. Well, the Peacock people reportedly submitted both iterations of Tonight that year, too, but only O'Brien got the nomination. I laugh. The Daily Show eventually took the award, though.
Sweet justice.
Semi-justice.
And that's a great Conan or Jay Leno impression.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Kate. Thank you. I'm going to drive off in one of my totally frivolous cars.
I really enjoy it.
All right. Why don't you read the next question?
All right. Sally Caroline asks via
Twitter. It's salty.
Oh, sorry.
It's salty.
Salty Caroline asks via Twitter.
What?
How is Martin Freeman a supporting actor on Sherlock but not on Fargo?
You decide what you are, essentially. The Emmy people don't have a ton of rules. They have some rules, but they don't have a ton of rules about what you are. The way that your network or your producers submit you is what you are. It's almost like the way that you judge art. Have you ever heard this about art? If someone declares a piece of work to be art, you have to judge it as art. It doesn't mean that it's good art or bad art.
Right.
But if you suddenly get up, walk around backwards in a circle, and sit down and say that was performance art, I now have to I have to judge that as performance art. It's not my job to say that's not art.
Right.
The creator's job is to decide what's art. My job is to say that's ass, don't do that again, sit your ass down. Same thing with the Emmys. For example, I spoke to Tom O'Neill. He is the head of a really priceless blog called Gold Derby. Mm-hmm. All they do is follow awards and the odds for the awards and who's predicting what showbiz awards. He's real busy right now, but I'm important. I'm an important human being.
Yes,
so he made
are.
Time for me. And I asked him this very question. And he said, yes, Freeman went supporting in Sherlock so he wouldn't bump into himself for his Fargo role. There are no strict rules defining what is a lead in a supporting performance, which leads to category jumping all the time as stars aim for whatever race they think is easiest for them to join. Mm-hmm. For example, John Cryer, 2 and a Half Men, Allison Janney, West Wing, did it successfully, winning in both lead and supporting. Jake Johnson from New Girl. Mm-hmm. Recently leapt up to the lead category after failing to get nominated in supporting, but the ploy, alas, didn't work. and I laugh.
Right. What is
laugh.
Your
what?
Thoughts on that show? New Girl.
New Girl? It's there. It's to me, it's just like every other network comedy. It's network sitcoms or network sitcoms or network sitcoms. They very rarely break the formula or do anything brave anymore. I haven't seen anything really fresh in a network comedy, I think, since Seinfeld. It's still mostly cue laugh track, you know, yell a line, laugh track. It's very tough, I think, to get a good network sitcom. That's my feeling. But you don't think so. I can tell. I'm looking at you.
No, I'm not. I agree.
Really?
It's there.
It's just there.
I mean, whatever.
There's a high fashion girl in it. The girl's high fashion.
I guess.
Zooey Deschanel, she's high fashion.
Oh, my God. Do you ever watch the Hollywood Roundtable? Or the Hollywood Reporter does roundtables around the award season.
I've heard tell of them, but they give me hives, so I don't watch them.
Some of them are pretty fascinating.
All right.
Zooey Deschanel appears to be on every single comedy actress one ever in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I feel as though she is the girl at the dinner party who always has to be speaking.
Really?
Yes. This is terrible. Don't invite her to dinner.
I won't. Thank you. And I have had celebrities at my house for dinner, and I can tell you, it's like having feral animals in your house. You feel like you have to watch them all the time, mm-hmm. or they're going to get lost or tip things over even if they're not high. It's a strange feeling. All right.
All right. Anonymous asks,
yes.
John Hamm got nominated again as actor and producer for Mad Men.
Right.
But he has never won one.
Right.
What's his career total up to, and how far does he have to go to reach the Angela Lansbury level of Emmy futility?
That's so mean.
Dang.
I recently conquered this question for Yahoo.
Oh.
Now, the Murder, She Wrote alumna, mm-hmm. she lives in my heart, by the way, so do not diss Angela Lansbury. She lives in my heart.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks is a classic.
Oh, did you ever see A Court Jester?
I did not.
Oh.
Great.
Oh, lives in my heart. Now, she may not have an Emmy yet, mm-hmm. but she can always cry into her pile of 6 Golden Globes and 5 Tonys next time she feels a bout of self-pity coming on.
Oh.
Now, her current record for fruitless Emmy nominations stands at 18,
wow.
including 12 for the aforementioned Murder, She Wrote, which also lives in my heart. Despite the Dynasty-like costumes, I love it so. Now, yes, that is an overall record for individual acting nominations. Now, Hamm, meanwhile, has faced only 6 disappointments on Emmy night as a dramatic actor. Now, if you count his comedic nominations for guesting on 30 Rock and his nods as a Mad Men producer, that total of Emmy noms so far to this day, to this second we're recording, is 12. That includes, obviously, the latest round of noms.
Mm.
Now, when it comes to dramatic lead thespianism,
mm-hmm.
Hamm's record places him in a tie with Hugh Laurie and Michael C. Hall, each of whom also have a half dozen identical Emmy acting experiences. By the way, if you want to know who carries the record for most failed nominations at Best Supporting Actor in a Drama, Ed Begley Jr., of course. Of course.
Poor guy.
Laurie, by the way, also got nominated 1 year for Producing House. He didn't win then either. I still don't think he should have won. There are so many people who think he's an awesome actor. I'm sure he is. Hugh Laurie is. I don't think that House showed it off.
No.
House showed off. That was a writer's show. No. That was not an actor's show. Because he always had these cool lines that he could just sort of sling and spit out that would show the writers how clever they were.
Right.
Over, I think I told you this, didn't I? Over on Breaking Bad, they were like, all right, Bryan Cranston, we're going to give you by way of, we're not going to give you any cool lines to say, you get cancer and a light bulb. Go. And he had to act his way through that. And that's why he deserved all the things. Now, Mm-hmm. Over in the comedic acting section, there are a few women who technically outstrip Hamm in the Lonesome Loser department, including Jane Kaczmarek and Julia Duffy. Do people even remember who they are anymore? Don't even remember.
I know who Jane Kaczmarek is, but who's Julia Duffy?
She was like a 80s and 90s era, like a Newhart supporting actress person. Both of them have gotten 7 nominations for either lead or supporting. Neither have won. Now, then again, things could be worse. By my count, are you ready for this? Some people are going to love this. Some people are really going to love this. I bet you my father, wherever he is when he's listening to this, is going to love this. Bill Maher has gotten 33 producing or hosting nominations stemming from shows such as Real Time and Politically Incorrect. That includes the nod he scored just recently for the last round of nominations under the Best Variety category. No wins so far. The dubious distinction spurred Deadline last year to call Maher Emmy's current biggest loser. So I think that he actually has the record for the most nominations for Emmys overall,
right?
With no wins.
I mean, this is kind of always a bridesmaid, never a bride. But
I don't think he gives a shit.
But wearing the most awesome dress that you can wear wherever you want all the time and you look great in it, at least you're nominated.
What are you talking about?
I would.
You lost me. I'm on a lot of cough medicine, but I don't think that made any sense.
I mean, you're still among a small, number of people, even amongst your peers.
Oh, to celebrate the nominations and all the publicity that goes with it and looking great. But if you're a man, you don't really get to like dress in Dior and shit like that. You don't get to do that. You don't get the nip-waisted magic of Dior.
That's true.
Yeah. I still don't think Mark cares.
Yeah.
If he were to win, if the Emmy were filled with pot, he would want that award very much. But I think with this, he just doesn't care. I think we have, time for one more.
All right.
Yeah. This may be a short program because like I said, I'm over here dying, but as long as you guys get your gossip, it's all good, right?
We live.
Oh, by the way, I have a blind item. I think I'll end with a blind item today.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Anonymous asks, Jim Parsons got noms for acting in both The Big Bang Theory and The Normal Heart. Also nominated in multiple acting categories, Melissa McCarthy and Martin Freeman. We know they have a statistically better odds at winning, but what about historically?
Actually, they don't have better odds either way.
Oh.
This has happened a few times where, you'll win once or you'll win both. For example, I talked to somebody else at the Paley Center who said that two people have won acting Emmys for two different roles in the same year. Cloris Leachman for Mary Tyler Moore in The Cher Show. There was a Cher Show in 1975.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for the quick opportunity to say that I saw Cher.
Yes.
Last week at the Staples Center. And one of the best shows of my entire life. I did not want it to stop. She is incredible.
Better than Rufus Wainwright.
Oh, my God. He was pretty amazing, too. Yeah. I saw him live at The Greek.
I may or may not have cried.
It was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
But this is powerful in a very different way. This woman is she is amazing at her craft.
You're kidding me.
She came out and she was like, after her first song, was like, I'm 68 years old. What's your granny doing tonight? I will never forget that for the rest of my life.
That's very good.
She's phenomenal.
And did she actually like move?
Yes.
Did she actually physically move?
I have
from point A to point B on the stage?
Oh my God. In heels with no pants on. She wore
pantsless.
What is her main, like, what is one of her biggest songs, like Life After Love or Time?
Believe. Life After Love.
She wore that crazy just jewels outfit with sparkly pink heart pasties. Maybe obviously there's been some adjustments on her on her frame, but she looks incredible.
You're kidding me.
For 68 in 2014, she looks amazing and moves unbelievably well in high heels. I've seen Stevie Nicks walk in high heels. It looks like she's
Stevie Nicks
fall
is still
over
only 4 feet tall in high heels, though.
Oh my God. And she's also like in her late 60s.
Right.
And is not nearly as well maintained as Cher.
Should we pause for a second?
Yeah.
There are like dogs fighting outside our studio or something. I don't care. I think it's great. I think we should just keep going. All right. So back to the question at hand. No. Getting nominated in multiple categories does not up your statistical advantage for winning either or any of them. One thing doesn't affect the other, as Tom O'Neill points out, because there may be an overlap of two or three judges in different categories, but overall, probably not much more because there are different juries deciding each award.
Oh.
For example, take the year 2011, in which Tina Fey got acting nods for both SNL and 30 Rock. No wins for her in either case. And of course, we can turn to Hamm for more negative evidence. Let me slice off some Hamm here. John Hamm was nominated three times as Best Lead Drama Actor for Mad Men and Best Actor in a Comedy for 30 Rock. And as we have already established, ergo and thus forth, never won. So it didn't matter if he was nominated in multiple categories. He just didn't win anything. Right. By the way, like I said, double dipping does not up the statistical odds for a win. And I think I've been through that already. Voters who love an actor have two choices to express their appreciation, and the vote could therefore be split with, you know, neither going to a majority, whereas you could concentrate all the love if you're only nominated in one category.
Mm.
That makes sense, right?
True.
Do you want to hear a great blind item?
Yes, please.
Y'all know that celebrities like to get paid when they go to events.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially events that are like corporate events to promote a gadget or a service or a new phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, high-tech company wanted some big names at one of their red carpet events. They reached out to a TV host. I think that's what I'm going to call this person, is a TV host.
Mm-hmm.
For a very popular show. And they said, I'm just going to call this person Mary. What's it going to take to get Mary, you know, on our red carpet? And they gave a five-figure sum. Company didn't want to pay it. Well, there's a little trick in this business where if you know to offer these people the right freebies, even if those freebies cost way less than the five-figure sum that they want, they will come. So finally, a smarter publicist got on the phone with this host's people and said, what's it going to take, really, to get Mary to come onto this red carpet? And they said, two iPads.
This
person two iPads, put them in a bag. They were waiting for her, and she came. Now, by the way, two iPads? I do have somebody here who works for Apple. A current iPad costs, what, $300, $400? Yeah, right? $300, $400? $400 plus $400 is $800.
Right.
And it's not a five-figure sum.
No.
$400, $800. Does not equal $50,000, $30,000, $80,000. Does not equal. Doesn't matter. She came. She wanted the two iPads.
What the is this person doing with
math
two
iPads?
Math
is not the strong suit of the television host. All right?
But that's so funny. But what would this person even do with two iPads?
I think she wanted them for her kids.
Mm.
Her husband and her kids. That's
hey,
it.
Right?
That's it.
Trade an hour on the red carpet for two iPads? I'll gladly do that.
I would too. But, you know, the thing is, if she had taken the money, she could have bought many more iPads.
Right.
So, yeah, math is not their thing. But
hurrah for the whatever tech company that was.
Now, did you get to meet Cher backstage?
I didn't. Unfortunately, I would love that.
You weren't wearing the gold pants.
I wasn't. She couldn't have seen them even if I was.
Okay. Well, I'm deeply disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in myself.
That's okay. I'll let you crawl off and lick your wounds because we have reached the end of another episode of The Fame Fatale. My name is Leslie Gornstein, and if you want to ask me a question about how Hollywood really works, it's easy. You can tweet me at Fame Fatale Says. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Google Plus. You can find me on the Tumblr for reasons I don't know. Or you can email me old school at Leslie@thefamefatale.com. You can always visit my website, www.thefamefatale.com. You, how can people reach you?
Me. They can find me at Baby Vegas with a Z on Twitter.
Not that they, if they wanted to.
Right this minute, please.
Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.